Good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday. Welcome to Radio Top Tropicals. Today, our event, again, you can reach us on our Mixlr site. That's mixlr.com/toptropicals. If you register and sign in, you can send questions directly through the Mixlr site. Alternatively, you can always call our studio at 239-887-3323. That's 239-887-3323. And our staff there will be happy to get your question live to us on the air. Another quick reminder, sign up for our newsletter at the toptropicals.com website. Once or twice a week, you'll get all the latest of what's arrived, what's happening, as well as access to special sales on products that we have for you. Now, today's topic on Radio Top Tropicals is you need a brown thumb to be a great grower. We're going to talk about all the stuff that you need to help your garden grow. And to introduce and present today's topic again is our own Robert Reifer, International Certified Crop Advisor. Robert, to you.
Okay, thank you. When I ask a lot of people, well, what kind of plants do you grow? They say, well, we really don't grow that many plants because I don't have a green thumb. Well, I've got news for you. You don't need a green thumb, you need a brown thumb, because knowing your fertilizer will help your plants grow fantastically. One of the main things to remember in all horticulture are two words: benign neglect. Most people overwater, overfertilize, and over-talk to their plants, which is a cheap form of psychotherapy, I guess. But dealing with the fertilizer, most people will indeed over-fertilize. Now, on most of your fertilizer labels, particularly your water-soluble ones, that's where you take and put a teaspoonful or so into water and then fertilize it, the plants. Most people will do this every 2 weeks or every month. One of the better ways of doing this, however, is to cut the amount of fertilizer you use, generally a tenth of what is listed on the label. Don't forget, they want to sell their fertilizer, so they tell you to use a lot. And you fertilize every time you water. This will accomplish many things. You see skinny people running around who eat 3 square meals a day, and yet you see people who aren't so skinny that snack all the time. You don't want your plant to eat consistently on appropriate weeks. You want that plant snacking morning, noon, and night so it'll grow big and strong. So go with about a tenth of what is on the label every time you water your plant or whatever you have in your garden. Just use that amount of fertilizer. This will also help because you won't be building up salts. Don't forget, most of your fertilizer, your potassium is potassium chloride. Many of your others use an element that is called chloride. And I'm sure you've heard of sodium chloride. These are all salts. In fact, out of interest, PVC pipe stands for polyvinyl chloride. It is not a plastic. It is chemically a salt.
So, Robert, we're off to a big start here. What you're telling me right away is the numbers, the instructions on the fertilizer bags that you buy at the store, they're full of stuff.
Fertilizer.
They're full of fertilizer. So you recommend one-tenth the amount, but more frequent use of the fertilizer. So with that in mind, here's a question that's come in. What do the numbers on a fertilizer bag represent? Not the price tag, Robert. What do the numbers on the fertilizer bag represent?
Okay, the numbers are what we call guaranteed analysis. And basically, the reason why they put guaranteed analysis on bags of fertilizer are because of politicians. You know, this way you know you're not getting a lion's sack of ship fertilizer. The first number is the nitrogen content. This is expressed, let's take for example a 10-10-10 bag of fertilizer. In that mixture, 10% is nitrogen. The next number is phosphorus. This is expressed as P2O4, two phosphorus atoms clinging on and having fun with four oxygen atoms. Basically, this is 42% of the number listed. So it's actually a 10-4.2. The third number is potassium, listed as potassium dioxide, and that is actually 83% of that number. So a bag of 10-10-10 fertilizer has 10% nitrogen, 4.2% phosphorus, and 8.3% potassium.
Before we move on to more fertilizer questions, Robert, the subject today is manure. And so other than fertilizer that you can buy at the store, and which we'll get into further depth on that today, tell us about some choices, some options that our listeners have for the manure and how they can use it and what types they should use.
Well, I, being an avid gardener, have the finest manure around. One day, the Budweiser Clydesdales visited my town of Lehigh Acres, and while everybody was paying attention to the front of the horse, I was collecting out the back. I actually have some Budweiser Clydesdale horse manure that has been aging for 1 year. So it's just absolutely, if you're going to play with manure, get vintage. And 2016 was a very good year.
Ah, Budweiser, the king of manure. So other than horse manure, what other kinds of manure can our listeners use in their garden? And can they use it in place of fertilizer or in addition to it?
Since manure is a fertilizer, you can use it much in place of fertilizer. However, your commercial fertilizers actually have a lot of micronutrients that are not found in the regular manures available. You can use horse manure, but be careful. It's got to age, otherwise you will burn your plants. There is cow manure, and for those of us who are bored down here in Southwest Florida, we attend a cow pie throwing contest occasionally. And don't forget, there's also cow bingo. You bet on where the chip is going to drop. In addition, there is sheep manure. Once again, that can burn. There is chicken manure. Interesting thing about chicken manure, there is a weed seed that passes right through the guts of the chicken, and it then actually germinates to form a horrible little grass seed that has spurs on them and aggravate quite thoroughly. The one thing, though, that I would stay away from is bat guano. There is a fungus on the bat guano that can invade the human respiratory system and cause death. This is where the legend of the curse of the mummy's tomb was encountered. The explorers would go into the tomb. They would breathe the fungal spores off of the bat guano and die. And I guess this is where we got the phrase batch of fertilizer crazy.
So we have cow manure, horse manure, chicken manure. You mentioned cow pie tossing, no cow pie catching. What's the reason behind that? Anyhow, tell me a little bit about, you mentioned the horse manure is valuable, but it needs to be aged. Is there a state where it's too fresh, or alternatively, where it's too stale, too old, too dry?
Basically, horse manure is like a fine woman. They are never too old. The other thing is, with the various type of manures, if it's an animal and it poops, yes, they all poop, then you can use that readily as a manure. You could even use iguana manure, which is sort of like the two jungle men roasting a chicken, and the one said to the other, I hear it tastes a lot like iguana.
Only Robert could somehow equate fine woman to manure. I'm not sure that's the best way to go, Robert, but here's a question for you. Regarding manure, what kind is most valuable to my plants, assuming our listeners have a choice of the various manures out there? And while we're on that, can you fertilize too much? So with all the different fertilizer options, you mentioned watering or fertilizing every time you water. What's too much, and then which kind of manure is the most valuable to our listeners that have a choice?
The cheapest and best manure, in my opinion, is cow manure. And very cheap, very easy. You can even buy a composted cow manure, which I recommend highly. Be sure to mix it, though, with a lot of sand or other materials for ready drainage. It sort of reminds me, though, of these two cows. They're standing at a fence on opposite sides of one another. The one cow says, "Hey, Elsie, are you worried about this mad cow disease?" And Elsie just answers the other cow back and says, "Who cares? I'm a helicopter."
Yeah, dun dun. Okay, so you can't fertilize too much. Is that so? And then along with that, are there better times to fertilize as far as time of day, time of year, certain weather conditions? Straighten that out for me.
Okay, you can over-fertilize, especially with the manures I told you about that can burn. Once again, just like with the water-soluble fertilizers, a little bit at a time. Use copious amounts of water. And one of the things that we have found in the CCA industry, which is Certified Crop Advisor, 95% of all problems in the agricultural field are just like for homeowners and avid gardeners, and that namely is people want to over-fertilize. And please be judicious, not only in the amount of fertilizer you use, do it responsibly, because after a while the Caloosahatchee River down here in southwest Florida turns green, followed by the Gulf of Mexico turning green. You don't want to ruin the environment, because if for no other reason, this is your drinking water. And this idea of having a lush green lawn, that's fine, up to the edge of a river or a canal, okay, that's fine. But take a look and make sure that you or your yard man is not just throwing the fertilizer in to the point that it goes in the river. After all, fertilizer is money, and to overuse, you are just literally wasting your money.
Judicious amounts of fertilizer. I like that. On the same kind of topic, we're out here in the country. We can get horse manure anywhere we want. Does stored manure lose its strength? And sort of related question, does what we feed the livestock, does it affect the quality of the manure?
What you feed the livestock actually does quite indeed affect the quality of the manure. Also, the milk. There's a fascinating chemical. It's manufactured by Stoller USA. It's called BioForge, and they found the cows gave more milk when they put the BioForge onto the hay. Now, one other thing that will help with manure transport and making sure that your plant gets all its groceries that it wants, its macronutrients like nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, and then all the microelements, nickel, in fact, chlorine is an essential ingredient, is to take a look at our website here at Top Tropicals and look up sunshine. I have personally experimented with this, and it is a wonder cure. It's an all-natural steroid. It is derived from brassica, which is basically a family of plants that comprise your broccoli, cauliflower, and all that. And this helps transport. It's sort of like a vitamin pill. This is what you want to do, because it's one thing to lay a bunch of manure or fertilizer in the pot. It's another thing to have that plant be able to uptake it and use it.
So speaking of sunshine, we obviously use that out here at Top Tropicals all the time. Does the use of sunshine replace the fertilizer? Do we use it in addition to whatever fertilizing method we use currently?
Sunshine does not replace fertilizer at all. It's used in addition to it. And it just really, really works. We did one experiment with tomato plants where the plants that we gave sunshine had 5 times the mass by weight as the ones that we did not give sunshine to. So it really makes sure that the plant can uptake these necessary nutrients.
And let's get back real quick to the best times to fertilize. Is there a best time? Is it related to the time of day, the time of year, or certain weather conditions?
Okay, for most plants, you don't want to water in the late evening. You want to do it in the early morning once the sun is out. This allows the plant through photosynthesis to uptake everything. As far as time of year, for those of you living up north, obviously you're not going to do it in a February snowstorm. So spring is a marvelous time to fertilize. In fact, we're going to have an event here at Top Tropicals on the 15th of April. I guess you could call it a fertilizer festival. And there will be many things to enjoy. We may even do a fertility dance or two. We really, down here in Southwest Florida, don't do it like they do in Hawaii, where you throw a virgin into a volcano. Number one, we have sedimentary rocks, so we don't have volcanoes. And number two, well, never mind the fact we can't find the other ingredient.
Yes, difficult to find the second ingredient in Southwest Florida. Back to organic fertilizers, such as manure. Here's a great question from one of our listeners. Is it true you should apply organic fertilizers, such as manure, during the fall because it takes so long to break down and for it to be useful to the plants? Is there a best time to apply the organic fertilizer, such as manure?
It really does not require that much time to break down. However, if you fertilize in the spring, really give it some good fertilizer in summer, and also give it fertilizer in the fall, because even up north, during the fall and winter months, even though a plant may be deciduous, have no leaves at all, the root ball is still growing. And it's the roots that help feed the plant. And many people will even take things like peaches, plums, persimmons, which we all have here at Top Tropicals, and plant their trees in the fall, because this will give a chance for the root ball to grow.
Let's move on a little bit to talk about some of the commercial fertilizers. Here's a great question. There are so many different fertilizers available in the stores, garden centers, etc. Is there one that is best for the tropical plants? And while we're on that, do those fertilizers lose their strength if they're stored, for instance, in your garage for the next few months?
Well, many of the fertilizers are hydroscopic. That means that they will absorb water and eventually turn to mush. Top Tropicals has a selection of fertilizers which we use at our nursery. So once again, look at our website, see what we have. Also, under penalty of unemployment, I've been told I need to come up with a really good water-soluble fertilizer for Top Tropicals. And I have seriously been working on it.
I hope that comes fast, or we have a volcano with your name on it, apparently.
Uh-oh.
Okay, so here's another great question. Looking for the perfect balanced fertilizer for potted plants. Do we have anything that we can offer our viewers, listeners, for balanced fertilizer for their potted plants?
Yes, we do have a balanced fertilizer. Later on, I'm going to be getting it into a water-soluble form. One other interesting thing, there are many sources of nitrogen, that first number. And I was told by several orchid judges one time that I should never, ever, ever use urea as a source because orchids didn't like urea. And I asked him, does that mean I have to give the awards back that I've gotten on all my orchids? Urea is a fantastic, great source of nitrogen. It is basically crack for plants. And we are also going to use a product known as Harvest More Urea Mate, blend it with the urea, put in a few more goodies, and I'm going to come up with a concoction that is going to please you and your plants. When, I don't know, but I better come up with it, and I better come up with it soon. I'm still going through the figures and the numbers, because if you're going to do anything, you might as well do it right.
Okay, and in the meantime, back to the potted plants. So you can go to our website, toptropicals.com. We have a professional slow-release fertilizer that includes all of the necessary microelements available. Okay, so any other topics or any other tidbits of information you want to offer our listeners regarding fertilizer, be it organic or store-bought?
Well, number one, don't do what I did as a four-year-old child and eat about a pound of it. But at any rate, The main idea is do not over-fertilize. Also, one other thing, say you got a tree in the yard. Where you really want to fertilize is around the drip line. The drip line is where if you take the branches of the tree and water falls from them, that is known as the drip line because all your feeder roots are around that drip line. So the idea is when you eat a sandwich, you use your mouth rather than your big toe to eat the sandwich. And this is basically where the plant's absorptive tissues are. Plants really do not eat. They can only drink. And make sure that you don't fertilize your plants when it is bone dry and your plants are under stress. This can also burn them. Fertilize when the soil is moist, but not too moist. We live in an area here in South Florida where occasionally in the summertime you wind up with waterfront property, which of course is when we invite over the property appraiser.
So you had mentioned earlier the three numbers in the fertilizer and what they mean. One of them was phosphorus, and we have a question from our listener. What is phosphorus and what role does that play in our plant care?
Phosphorus is an element found on the periodic chart. Unfortunately, when used incorrectly, this causes algal blooms. The algae absorbs it and just goes ape in our rivers, our canals, our waterways, and into the Gulf of Mexico. It seems that nowadays all the regulatory agencies are at war with the periodic chart. They don't like carbon. Well, I'd like to take my carbon footprint and, well, that's another thing.
Careful, Robert. That volcano is calling your name. So, final question, and I want to thank all of our listeners and sending in your questions and calling our offices. How often do you need to apply microelements? And for some of our listeners, Robert, explain the difference or the comparison between fertilizer and microelements.
Microelements are actually a fertilizer, but we call them microelements because you use it in tiny quantities. On the back of the fertilizer bag, they should list the microelements that are used. Examples are copper, nickel, in some cases boron, magnesium, manganese, basically many of the elements found on the periodic chart.
Okay, well, Robert, I want to thank you for your expertise today. I got to say, and everyone here feels the same, you really know your stuff. And next week, come join us where, Robert, introduce the topic for us next week.
Next week's topic will be Medicine Man. Medicine Man discusses medicinal herbs. Also a humorous disclaimer, but legal, will be made. Discussion of herbs and plants include quinine, digitalis, and don't forget, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. If you don't like apples, well, do you like roses? Okay, we have a compromise here at Top Tropicals. We sell rose apples.
Aha, perfect, rose apples. Medicine Man is our topic next week. And before we go, I also just want to remind you, we have a new shipment of Desert Rose that came in. Gazillions, I've been told. Gazillions of roses and many, many varieties. And fortunately, we have a sale this weekend only, 15% off on them, on your Desert Rose purchases this week. Visit us again at toptropicals.com. I want to thank everybody for joining us. We'll see you here next week. Don't forget, go to our website. Any further questions, info@toptropicals.com. We will get answers to you. And sign up for our newsletter so you will have priority access to all of our new products and our sales and specials. Thanks again. We will see you all next Saturday for Medicine Man.